Good morning and welcome to the 8 o'clock hour of Byers & Company. John Decker live from the White House, plus your chance to win tickets to see the Cardinals in action from J.L. Hubbard Insurance and Bonds. The company starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
And we're back. It's Cosmo.
Wasn't that Cosmo the real name of, what's his name on Seinfeld?
Kramer?
Kramer's real name.
What's his name on Seinfeld?
No, I was like, Cosmo ended up being Kramer's name.
Yes.
Yeah, Cosmo Kramer.
There you have it. Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday, July 11th edition of Byers & Company. We're talking about silly radio names and, you know, I'm looking through the list of, these are the Marconi nominees for 2017. And if you're Dan and the Dude, I mean, or the Dude and Dan, I'm not even sure exactly.
I know.
Now, it's when I was Dan and Dude show.
So I was in TV.
Dude.
I did work with a girl named Crystal Clarity.
Now, come on.
Oh, no, but she wasn't on air. But I would totally steal her name.
Now, wait a minute. Her actual name
was
Crystal Clarity?
Crystal Clarity, and that was her actual
name. See, parents should not mess around with this stuff. This follows you your whole life.
She was brilliant at marketing.
Okay.
I remember.
Some people play it very straight. Like right next to the Dan and Dude show is Steve McIntosh and Ted Woodward.
The Dan and Dude show.
Yeah, I know. So WQHK FM in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Playing the hits.
By the way, thank you to Greg Spain. I now have a cowbell.
Thank you, Greg Spain.
Doesn't really sound like a cowbell, though.
Yeah, it does. You're used to hearing like 1,000 of them all the time.
Very big in soccer.
Yeah.
So a lifeguard at a nude beach in the Miami-Dade area.
Are the lifeguards nude at nude beach?
I doubt it.
Okay.
Because how would you identify them as the lifeguard without their red shorts with a little
cross? Well, they carry their little red thing and they wear a whistle.
They carry their little red thing.
And a whistle.
It is very hot down there. So evidently, now the beach is called Haulover, Haulover Beach.
Haulover.
Now, this, by the way, shark biting someone at any beach in Miami-Dade has only occurred 15 times in all of history in the Miami-Dade coastal waters. And this is the first recorded shark attack on a nude beach in South Florida. I didn't realize.
I didn't know there was nude beaches in South Florida.
Oh, and I think in the Miami area.
Okay.
Now, nude beaches are an interesting thing.
Yes.
Just in general. I'm sorry, you're waiting for me to fill in the details.
Oh, like going to a nude beach?
No, I'm saying I don't know why in America we get worked up about this because you go anywhere else
in
the world.
There are different types of nude beaches. Let's put it that way.
Okay, wait a minute. How do you know?
I've been to a nude beach.
Okay, but you've been to different types of nude beaches?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
And so what's
some are like more like, it's like adults. It's like, okay, you're an adult and you're just whatever.
Yeah.
And then some are like kind of feel like a commune.
Yeah, there's definitely.
Where there's like children.
Okay.
No, very uncomfortable.
That's very strange. Yes. Yeah. So, but you go elsewhere. And there's really not a nude beach or a not nude beach. It's just, there's just, everyone's topless.
Yeah.
You go to the islands, you go to Europe, you go to Vegas.
Those exotic locales.
Those exotic locales. They call them European pools in Vegas, by the way.
Oh, it just means topless.
Yeah, that's all that
means. Okay. And I'm totally cool with that.
We had an interview with a guy one time, years ago, whose job title was Breast Mister.
Oh, my God. I'd love to put that on a resume. Yeah. Not me personally, but I would love to read that on a resume. Hired.
Yeah. So it's like, so you just walk around with a spray bottle.
And just missed breasts.
Yes. So anyway, they're at this nude beach, and there is a shark in the water. And a gentleman by the name of Elvin Lanza, 44, was taken to the hospital for surgery Sunday after bites to both legs. Good thing that's a number two legs, expected to recover. The attack by the shark, identified as a bull shark by some of the observers, might have been provoked in part by a lifeguard who was on a water bike trying to trail the shark and warn the nude sunbathers to get out of the water. Now, the director of the Florida Natural Museum of History's International Shark Attack File said the animal was being harassed, not necessarily intentionally, but trying to be herded out of the area. An animal being cornered will lash out. It's a potential contributing factor that could be addressed. So the lifeguard thought he was doing the right thing.
And was really not. Okay.
Although, I think if I had the lifeguard out there on a water bike, I'd rather him be chasing the shark than just telling me to get out of the water.
Well, obviously, if it's going to be attacking because that lifeguard's out there. I mean, we don't necessarily understand all animal behavior, so.
Not recently, we don't.
No. But this sounds like completely natural behavior.
That camping story the other day where the kid woke up with his head in the bear's mouth?
Woke up to a crunching sound.
It was her skull. Or he.
It was a he. Yeah. 19-year-old kid. Now, he's just got scratches. Apparently, it was just nibbling on him.
Yeah. Video footage shows a lifeguard puttering on a water bike near a shark, estimated about 4 to 5 feet long, so it's not a big shark. While surrounding swimmers began making for the shore, the water bike had been trailing the shark down the beach. According to a sunbather who was with a friend nearby, the lifeguard stand, he said he heard someone say shark, then he heard the lifeguard blowing the whistle, alerting people to get out of the water. Now, all of this does is like cause more frenzy, because the movement in the water and the whistle and the motorbike. I mean, I can see why they're saying that probably amped the shark up.
Yeah. It felt threatened.
But still, what else would you do?
I mean, definitely get people out of the water. I don't know. I don't know if I'd trail it, but I wouldn't do that anyway.
I just don't get in the water.
Yeah, oceans, we can't get to the bottom of the ocean, but we can go to the moon.
I know. You say that line comes out of your mouth every single time we talk about it. Well, I'm not saying it's not, but you're not at the bottom of the ocean. You're at a beach.
It's still a scary place.
So I'll probably never die in a shark attack.
No, I won't either. Bear attack, maybe.
I know, because now I think that, you know, all these little trails that we were like, I mean, we liked that in Anchorage and elsewhere in Alaska. And we have this bear attack. And by the way, the bears are literally not the attack by brown bears, which is generally like grizzlies, the case. These are black bear attacks, which are very rare, except a whole bunch of them are happening for some unknown reason. The shark attacks, I think every single shark attack that has ever happened literally gets in the news, right? Yeah. Since Jaws, don't you think?
Probably.
I mean, and I think we have probably an unnatural fear of something that is so rare.
It gets its own week.
Huh? I know. Did you see in Texas, did you see the picture of this hammerhead shark that they pulled out of the water down there?
No.
This hammerhead shark weighed 1,033 pounds.
Say what?
The last record in Texas was 871 pounds. Now, we've been close enough to literally see a humpback whale, and they are so large as to not even to be able to describe them, right? So 1,000 pounds in relation to something the size of a whale, that's not all that much.
No. When you put it that way, yes. I mean, but
and don't the hammerhead sharks have those tiny little mouths?
They have the eyeballs like way on the side, like the.
That's why they're called a hammerhead. Yeah. Yes.
But they have tiny mouths.
I don't think they have like.
No,
not
I thought
like great
they,
whites are they?
I thought they had big old mouths, with lots of teeth.
Okay.
I thought they were just as dangerous.
Now here's the thing though, in Texas, are they literally? Just this is a shark hunt.
Hunting them. Well, no wonder they're attacking.
First place in the recent Texas City Jaycees Tackle Time competition was claimed by a massive hammerhead shark that broke the previous state record. Tim McClellan brought in the shark twice his size, weighing in at twice his size. What's this guy weigh, 500 pounds? Weighing in at 1,033 pounds. Shark was brought in as part of the annual fishing competition, which ran from June 30th to July 9th this year. President of the Texas City Jaycees, Blake Carroll, told the news, 10 days long competition is the biggest fundraiser of the year. It enables the club to put on community events throughout the year and raises funds for the entire year throughout the competition. Texas City Jaycees are in their 55th year, but the Jaycees have been around a lot longer than their chapter. Texas City chapter has been involved in the tournament for years and will now be remembered for having caught the largest hammerhead shark recorded by the state of Texas. Now, you don't really think about shark attacks in Texas, do you?
No.
Why is
that? I guess
in
the, I mean, I just never, the Gulf, I don't know.
There you have more than 1,000-pound hammerhead shark. It doesn't look as scary because it's got that weird head. Maybe that's why I thought its mouth was smaller. Because
no,
I look at the tiger shark that weighed 817 pounds, and it looks just like Jaws.
Yeah.
The hammerhead looks like some sort of mutant
cartoon thing.
Yes, yeah. Like it would talk.
But its name wouldn't be Bruce.
No.
It'd be like, I'm Charlie.
Or Gary or something, yes. Gary the hammerhead. Yeah. But I'm looking at the picture of this guy standing next to this thing, and it's just a monstrosity. And you think about running into this in the water. Mm-hmm. I don't even like to get in the lake.
No.
We were talking about this with the triathlon over the weekend, right?
Things touching your legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to run anything that weighs 1,000 pounds.
Mm-mm.
And I think in the water, I wouldn't have any idea the difference between a dolphin, a hammerhead shark, a whale, a seal. I mean, I think it would just all look the same to me.
It would all just be scary. Yes.
All right, John Decker coming in with the latest on this Trump stuff. I am so tired of this Russia thing. And I am also really tired of this cycle in the media where they hyperventilate and scream and these huge headlines, and then the next 24 to 48 hours is spent like walking back their original hysteria. Today it's an email in Donald Trump Jr. And every time they get out in front of this stuff, they got to walk it back every single time. Yet they're still obsessed with it. And I can tell you, I have conversations day in and day out, not just during this show and not just on social media, but conversation after conversation. Every time I walk into the YMCA or leave this building or bump into anyone on the streets, not one person in the last 6 months has said, what do you think about all this Russia stuff? Not one person. You know what they want to know? Thank you for grilling Bill Mitchell. You know, they're sick of politicians. And they're sick of, in some regards, the national media. We just showed you that study from the Pew Research Center a little bit earlier. Only 10% of Republicans or Republican-leaning independents have respect for the national media. 10%. Russia, Russia, Russia. Walk it back, walk it back, walk it back. Russia, Russia, Russia. Walk it back, walk it back, walk it back. That's all they seem to be doing. John Decker joins us live from the White House. John, I hate to broad brush the media in such a general way because I don't think everyone in the media is guilty of this, but I was looking at that Pew Research study and only 10% of Republicans or right-leaning independents have any trust in the national media.
Yeah, it's obviously disappointing. And, you know, the image of the media has declined over the course of the past few decades, really. And it's at a low point right now, let's face it. It's unfortunate because I think the media plays a very important part in our democracy. And, you know, I think that sometimes bad actors give, you know, the entire profession a bad name.
No, there's no doubt. And there's lots of quality people that are still doing the job that you do each and every day covering the White House. But when it seems to me this news cycle of hysterical headlines, then followed by kind of walking it back, like they're not learning anything from this.
Well, look, you know, I think what you're seeing right now is a divided country, and sometimes that's reflected in a divided media. You have, you know, sort of an opposition media that is developed in this country. It used to be, you know, when we were growing up, you know, when you had three networks on television, generally the news was unbiased. It was sort of unfiltered, and now you have a bias sometimes. You know, figuring its way into
sure.
the way stories are told.
Yeah,
I think that's the reason why people have a different view of the media than they did perhaps, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
I agree with everything you just said completely. But I think that the thing that amazes me most is that, you know, this obsession with Russia that some of the networks and newspapers seem to have, and we can talk about the latest with Donald Trump Jr., although I don't know it's the latest. We'll see how this story stands up over the next couple of days. I don't talk to anybody here on the ground who has any interest in this story at all.
Well, that's probably true, you know, and I always enjoy talking to you. I always enjoy talking to our affiliates because I get a sense about what stories, which, you know, are sort of enveloping us here in Washington, are not playing well in middle America. And you are right there in middle America. And it's always helpful when I hear that, you know, a story that we think is the biggest deal in the nation's capital is not playing very well in the middle of the country. And I think that the Russia story is perhaps one of those stories that just isn't playing well outside of the East Coast and the West Coast.
Yeah, because I think the media can be every bit as in a bubble as the politicians are at times.
Oh, I've seen it. I mean, I think what's indicative of that is the fact that so many members of the Washington Press Corps, and I will exclude myself and sort of pat myself on the back, but so many members of the Washington Press Corps were so shocked and surprised that President Donald Trump won in November of 2016. I was not, you know, and I think that if you know, sort of have this echo chamber where you're, you know, following your colleague on Twitter, you're not going to get a sense about what's happening in the rest of the country. And, you know, I think that that is an important element of being a good reporter, is knowing what's happening in all of America, not just what's happening in, you know, Washington, D.C.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, people here are still worried about the economy and jobs and what's going to happen to health care. You know, there are interests that this president ran on with very strong views, you know, and so it's not, I feel like the media sort of like tried to create the narrative to justify the fact that they were right and the American people were wrong by electing him, and they won't let go of that. I don't get any sense of that talking to you two or three times a week, but I certainly get that out of CNN, the New York Times, and the Washington Post.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, I'm not going to bash any of the entities that you just mentioned, but I will say that there are news organizations that, you know, still can't get over the fact of that Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton in November of last year. And it's, I think, reflective of the kind of coverage that they're giving this administration rather than accepting it and fairly covering this administration, you know, asking the tough questions, but fairly covering this administration like they've done with other administrations.
All right. Now, having said all that, what is the latest on this latest thing with Donald Jr.? Is there any there in any of this?
Well, so far, I haven't seen anything that points to any illegality on the part of Donald Trump Jr.'s part. He's gone out and hired a lawyer. That makes sense. He's going to have to be interviewed about his meeting, his conversation with this Russian lawyer by the Senate Intelligence Committee, the House Intelligence Committee, the special counsel. But based upon everything that I've read in these stories that have come out in the New York Times, there's no illegality on his part. Was it maybe improper? Yeah, maybe, but that's not illegal. And I think it's a far cry to be, you know, sort of pointing a finger at Donald Trump Jr. or the president, for that matter, and saying, aha, this is collusion. There's no indication of that so far.
No, not at all. And I can't imagine in political campaigns there aren't all kinds of these meetings that happen because someone has dirt on someone, or at least purportedly has dirt on someone.
Well, opposition research is sort of the backbone of our country. It's been happening since the day our country was founded. And this is an element of opposition research. If you get a phone call, you're running for office, you get a phone call from somebody, I have dirt on your opponent, aren't you going to meet with that person? You know, I think the answer is yes.
Yeah.
That's what the Trump campaign did in this particular case.
Yeah, but the politicians constantly trot out that scene from Casablanca where they're shocked to find gambling going on.
That's exactly
always.
Right. Now, that happens. And that's happened certainly in this particular case.
All right, John. Great stuff as always. We appreciate it. John Decker live from the White House this morning. We'll take a quick break. Back with more. Here's Lindsay Romano with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
40% chance of seeing some showers, thunderstorms today. Otherwise, partly sunny and highs near 90. For your Tuesday, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy and lows around 72. Wednesday, sunshine, highs near 94. Going to feel more like 102. Then Thursday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny and highs near 90 degrees. Right now in downtown Decatur, it's 79 degrees.
From Decatur to Springfield, from Effingham to Belleville, we're bringing even better health care closer to home. With outstanding physicians and some of the region's most advanced specialties, our family is coming together to care for yours. HSHS Medical Group and St. Mary's Hospital. Together, part of Hospital Sisters Health System.
The Decatur Family YMCA is celebrating 140 years of firsts. We were the first to bring you volleyball, racquetball, bodybuilding, and group swim lessons. We're also celebrating the firsts that happen each day at the Y. A first time at summer camp, a first time running a mile, and a first time swimming a lap across the pool. This is Matt Whitehead, CEO of your Decatur Family YMCA. I invite you to make your gift to the Y so that firsts can continue to happen in our community. Visit DecaturYMCA.org or call 872-YMCA.
Linda Roberts' Best Trips Ever and Royal Caribbean bring you an Alaskan cruise and tour you'll never forget. June 1st, 2018. A 7-night cruise and 4-night land with train in beautiful Alaska. Call Linda today at 864-4666. Feel the spray of the ice as the ship approaches the glacier. Cruise Vancouver, Ketchikan, Juneau, Skagway, Hubbard Glacier, Icy Strait Point, and stay in the beautiful mountain lodges of Alyeska, Talkeetna, Denali. And ride the rails to Anchorage. Call Linda now at 864-4666. That's 864-4666.
This is Byers and Company on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
New study out of the University of Minnesota found that creative geniuses favor a chaotic workspace and that a messy desk is truly, perhaps, the sign of real genius. What do you make of that?
My desk is filthy.
Filthy and cluttered
are two different things.
Very
cluttered. Everything's always very cluttered.
If a cluttered desk is a sign of a cluttered mind, this is what Einstein famously pointed out, and he, by the way, had a very messy desk, then what is an empty desk a sign of? Kind of hard to argue with Einstein. So if your workspace is usually a mess, stop agonizing over how you look to your colleagues and embrace your untidiness for what it is. Maybe. Sheer genius. Now, does that mean everybody with a messy desk is really, really smart?
No. Sometimes you're just a slob.
I was not going to name names.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
But
oh.
I don't know that I think I'm somewhere in between. I don't know that I fall neatly into either category.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So sometimes I want, like, complete order, and sometimes I'm okay with the chaos. And then I really don't have a desk because you took it. Oh. So I have a console that I share with Eric Lee and others. Most weeks, Kevin Verhaeghe has been on the air more this week than I have.
Yeah, really.
So I'm conscious of, like, not wanting to leave everything a mess for them. You, on the other hand, are all about the clutter. You and Matt Hall.
Yeah.
Why is that, do you think?
My desk area, that's how I, I'm that way.
Do you think that's a sign of genius? Because the University of Minnesota says so?
I don't know. I don't think myself as a genius. I'm not sure how to humbly answer that, to be honest.
All right. You going to watch the All-Star game tonight?
God, no. Why would I do that?
Only two Cardinals on the All-Star team, Yadier Molina and Carlos Martinez. And neither one's starting. No starters from the Cardinals. It's on Fox, by the way. I did figure out where it's going to be. So Joe Buck will have the call, along with John Smoltz, Tom Verducci, and Ken Rosenthal. So it'll be on Fox, and it's going to be played at the Marlins Park there in Miami, Florida. Now,
also known as Gaudy Park.
It's a gaudy stadium for sure, but you know who will be in the stands? Because if you go down to spring training in Jupiter, where the Marlins share a stadium with the Cardinals, the Roger Dean Stadium that we broadcast from every year, and you go to a Marlins Cardinals game where they play each other, and in southern Florida there are more Cardinals fans than there are Marlins fans at the game. I mean, that's just a
yes.
Given. So I'm assuming these tickets are big ticket items, and they'll be all over the country. Anyway, tonight is the game. We'll take a break for news. Back with more after this.
WSOY News Time is 8:29. Good morning. I'm Brett Cerfowski in the WSOY Newsroom. Illinois hop farmers are trying to contribute to the local craft beer industry with locally grown ingredients, but are facing costs and infrastructure challenges that prevent progress. Grant McCarty, local food systems and small farms extension educator for the University of Illinois, says the high startup cost is the main challenge for hop growers, since hops in Illinois can cost anywhere between $10,000 and $13,000 per acre.
The break-even points can sometimes be up to 20 acres of hop for some of these growers. And so if you're still at 1 to 2 acres, you're still kind of potentially struggling.
These perennial plants produce climbing vines that can reach 20 to 25 feet annually. The plant requires an extensive infrastructure system to support growth, which adds to the startup cost. Illinois produces only 30 acres of hops annually, and by comparison, Michigan produces 650. More local news and sports comes up after Fox News covers your world. WSOY time, it's 8:30.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. There's a report out from a monitoring group that the leader of the Islamic State of Iraq in Syria is dead. President Trump tweeting this morning, big win against ISIS, but the U.S. is not confirming the death of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Russia's defense ministry said back in June it might have killed him during one of the airstrikes. Meanwhile, the father of the U.S. soldier accused of trying to support ISIS speaking out.
I was quite concerned when he came back a tour in Afghanistan, one tour in Iraq, if he had PTSD.
Clifford Kang saying he's in shock over charges against his son.
Ikaika Kang was assigned to the 25th Combat Aviation Brigade in Hawaii as an air traffic controller, but he also had high-level combat training. He apparently started talking about wanting to kill service members back in 2011, but the FBI says he was radicalized last year.
Fox Radio's Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News. We report, you decide.
WSOY News time is 8:31. Good morning, I'm Brett Cerfowski in the WSOY Newsroom. Governor Bruce Rauner has announced that Christina Rasmussen has been appointed to the Chief of Staff position for the Office of the Governor. Rasmussen will replace former Chief of Staff Richard Goldberg. Before joining the administration, Rasmussen served as the President and Chief Operating Officer of the Illinois Policy Institute. She was previously the Director of Government Affairs for the National Taxpayers Union. Rasmussen is a graduate of George Washington University and Randolph-Macon Women's College. She will take over the position for Chief of Staff effective immediately. And with a look at sports, it's the 88th Major League Baseball All-Star Game at Marlins Park in Miami, Florida. The starting pitchers have been announced. It will be Chris Sale from the Boston Red Sox. This season so far, 11-4 with a 2.75 ERA. Max Scherzer from the Washington Nationals gets the start for the NL. He's 10-5 with a 2.10 earned run average. Game time is at 6:30 tonight on Fox. Your WSOY News time is 8:32.
Hi, I'm Chris Krug, publisher of the Illinois News Network. We've redesigned our digital news home. If you're new to us, you'll appreciate the thoroughness and quality of reporting at ilnews.org. Our team of journalists provides truth and a rare sensibility that gets below the surface. We report on what's happening in Springfield in real time with frequent updates. No other news media provides the level of coverage and commentary found at the all-new ilnews.org. I invite you to read the most relevant news stories from the State House and across the state. Honest, insightful, all about Illinois. ilnews.org.
Hi, this is Brady from the Brass Horn. What's the best way to beat the heat while still looking cool? Come into the Brass Horn in the heart of downtown Decatur for the summer sale. All spring and summer clothes are anywhere from 25 to 50% off now through the end of July. Shop from quality brands like Peter Millar, Vineyard Vines, Johnny O, Southern Tide, and so much more. Visit brasshorn.com now to sign up for the newsletter. Even with the temperature rising and the sun sizzling, you can always stay cool with the right fit at the Brass Horn.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Today we have a 40% chance of seeing some showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny skies and highs near 90. For tonight, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows around 72 degrees. Wednesday, it's going to be a hot one with mostly sunny skies, highs near 94, feeling like 102. And then Thursday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny and highs near 90. Right now in downtown Decatur, it's 79 degrees.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the Tuesday edition of Byers & Company. Right now we head to Benjamin F. Edwards and Todd Bruner, who is standing by. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Brian. The Dow closed down 5.82 points on Monday to 21,408.52. Strength in the technology sector aided the broader S&P 500 and NASDAQ composite, which both closed higher. In economic news, consumer credit rose to a seven-month high during May on increases in revolving credit, auto, and student loans. Economic announcements likely to impact the markets today include wholesale trade and the job openings and later turnover labor turnover survey. The National Federation of Independent Businesses said its small business sentiment index dropped during June as confidence continued to erode about near-term passage of health care and tax reform legislation. The European markets were mixed today, with the London FTSE down 0.86% and the DAX in Frankfurt up 0.12%. The Nikkei in Tokyo was up 0.57%. The 10-year U.S. Treasury note was down 4.30 seconds, yielding 2.39%. Gold futures were down $3.30 to $1,209.90. Crude oil futures were down 47 cents at $43.93 a barrel. The Dow has started the day trading at 21,413.97, a positive 4.84% or points. ADM 4057, Ameren 5387, Caterpillar 10744, Norfolk and Southern 12232, PPG 11063, Tate and Lyle 3483, Mueller Water 1123. Brian, today some wisdom can be found in the words of Winston Churchill, who said, "There is nothing wrong with change if it is in the right direction." This is Todd Bruner with Benjamin F. Edwards & Company, member FINRA and SIPC.
Thank you, Todd, as always. We appreciate it. We'll check in with you first thing tomorrow morning. Did you see this near miss at the San Francisco airport story?
No.
One aviation expert said this would have been the maybe the largest aviation disaster ever had it happened. And why is it, as George Carlin once famously pointed out, do we call it a near miss when it's actually a near hit?
Yeah. This is a good point. A near miss sounds like...
Yeah.
Oh, we almost missed it.
Sitting on taxiway C shortly before midnight were four airplanes full of passengers and fuel waiting permission to take off, according to the Federal Aviation Administration, which is investigating this very rare incident. An air traffic controller sent a descending Air Canada Airbus 320 on a go-around, which is an unusual event where pilots must pull up and circle around to try again before a safe landing, according to the federal agency. FAA investigators are still trying to determine how close Air Canada came. They almost landed. What happened was, instead of landing on the runway, they almost landed on the taxiway.
Oh, my.
Which they would have hit four planes.
How close were they? I mean, were they like in the descent?
Yes. If it is true, what happened probably came close to the greatest aviation disaster in history, according to retired United Airlines Captain Ross Amer, who is the CEO of Aero Consulting Experts. He said he's been contacted by pilots from across the country about the incident. If you could imagine an Airbus colliding with four passenger aircraft wide bodies full of fuel and passengers, then you can imagine how horrific this could have been. Peter Fitzpatrick, an Air Canada spokesman, said flight AC-759 from Toronto landed normally without incident after the go-around. The go-around meaning he had to pull up from his descent at the last second and come back around and do it and land on the right runway. And only in the airline industry would this be called a near miss.
And was this the fault of the air traffic controller?
No. The SFO spokesman referred inquiries to the FAA, saying the airport had no comment on the event. The aircraft had been cleared to land on runway 28R, which runs parallel to the taxiway, according to the FAA. The pilot flying the plane manually on a clear night lined up wrong, according to the federal agency. Audio from the air traffic controller communication achieved or archived by a user on liveatc.net. I love the fact that people are just listening to this stuff phones. And reviewed by the Mercury News, recorded the confused Air Canada pilot asking if he's clear to land on 28R because he sees an airplane light on the runway. The air controller says there's no one on 28R but you.
Oh.
An unidentified voice, presumably another pilot, then chimes in, "Where is this guy going? He's on the taxiway."
Oh, my God.
The air controller quickly tells the Air Canada pilot to go around and adds, "It looks like you were lined up for Charlie Taxi," which is taxiway C there. A United Airline pilot chimes in, "United 1, Air Canada flew directly over us." Control tower says, "Yeah, I saw that, guys. The event has launched a discussion among airline inner circles. This is pretty huge. My buddies called and asked if I knew about it." The former pilot said, "They're a sitting duck on the taxiway. They can't go anywhere." So one pilot
Could have taken out.
I mean, I've never really thought about sitting on the taxiway that way. Have you? That you're all lined up there,
no,
as sitting ducks.
And I guess I never knew the taxiways ran like that. I always thought they ran the opposite direction for that reason.
Evidently in San Francisco, they're showing a map. In the story there in the Mercury News, there's a map graph of the San Francisco International Airport where it shows taxiway C running is right there by the San Francisco Bay.
Wow.
And then runway 28R, which land or run parallel to each other. Now, what I'm always amazed at is that anybody can understand anything these pilots or controllers say.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world is telling us what you're going to do.
I mean, how do they get anything?
I have no idea.
I'm amazed this doesn't happen more often.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put a Canadian accent in there, eh? Who knows? That's terrifying, though.
It is.
And when did they come up with near miss? George Carlin had the funniest routine about this. He also said he likes to fly in the back of an airplane. That's the safest seat in the plane.
Is it?
Well, has an airplane ever backed into a mountain? We'll take a break. Your WSOY time, 841.
A Little Theater on the Square presents Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, July 19th through the 30th. Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat is the irresistible family musical about the trials and triumphs of Joseph, Israel's favorite son. This show is a reimagining of the biblical story of Joseph, his 11 brothers, and the coat of many colors. The magical musical is full of unforgettable songs and sights. Call 728-7375 for tickets or at thelittletheater.org. Little Theater, big talent.
Hi, this is Pat McElroy, and I want to invite you to join my family and our friends as we remember my brother, Mayor Mike Tuna McElroy, at the second annual McElroy Memorial Golf Outing on Friday, July 21st at Hickory Point Golf Course. The McElroy Memorial pays tribute to Tuna's legacy. The golf outing also benefits children, adults, and families at the Decatur Family YMCA. I hope to see you at this year's outing and that you'll join me in toasting the memory of my brother, Tuna, after a great day of golf. For more information, visit DecaturYMCA.org.
Is your bank truly experienced, or are they learning as they go? I'm Corky Nicholson of Hickory Point Bank, and our team of professionals is ready to help you with everything from the simplest banking needs to the most complex financial challenges. The experience of our team comes not just from years in the business, but also from a passion for service. So come to Hickory Point Bank with all your banking needs. We've seen them, and we've solved them. Hickory Point Bank. Invested. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Buyers and Company. Only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Well, tying a couple of threads together here today. A guy, 38-year-old man, is dead by... Well, death by volcano. He killed himself by jumping 250 feet into the Mount Kilauea in Hawaii there after leaving a suicide note in the backpack that he dumped nearby. And tying this all together is he's known locally as Leo Adonis, but his real name was Gregory Michael Ure. Not quite sure. Maybe he was a radio guy. 250 feet below a walking trail used by the public. We've been right there where we're talking about here. The rim of this crater... There's a point where you, Mount Kilauea, it's beautiful. And it smells like a great big match.
It does.
Like that sulfur smell. Yeah. And you look down into this crater, right? And it's so massive that you really can't put it into perspective. The first time I was there, I'll never forget this. You know, we're sitting there thinking, oh, it's a big crater. Wow, that's big.
It's a crater.
And then I look down, and like the size of ants.
Yes.
There are people down there walking, and you go, oh, my God.
Then you get something
for scope. That is
huge. And it's barren, like
It looks like you'd think of, like, Mars or the moon or something, right.
So you're looking down there, and there's nothing really to give you
no trees,
scope.
No nature.
So whenever you see somebody walking down there, it's like, oh, wow.
It's huge, right?
Yeah.
Well, evidently, people who were there touring the park found his bag in a suicide note, but they couldn't find the body. And so the next day, they took the helicopter out, and park rangers did find him, 38-year-old, who left behind a suicide note. But that, I guess, I don't know that there's a way of killing yourself.
This is morbid.
No, I know it's morbid, but I'm just trying to figure out why you would want to jump into a volcano. I mean, I just, Wasn't there a movie about that with Tom Hanks?
Joe and the Volcano?
Yeah.
Yeah. With Meg Ryan?
You know what? I believe that's exactly right. And wasn't there something to, like legend about...
Yes, there's something to that. So maybe it's a local thing, like that's a more honorable way.
I have no idea. None. I've had the exact opposite urge when I visited Mount Kilauea. Yeah. It's like to step back a
back
little.
Back away.
Not closer. Yeah, it was a 1990 film.
Oh, way back.
Well, I guess that's you could put it that way. When a hypochondriac learns that he is dying, he accepts an offer to throw himself in a volcano at a tropical island, and along the way there truly learns to truly live. That really doesn't give me anything to work with. Let me go to Joe versus the Volcano Wikipedia.
That was
page.
Like the droid description. Let's see if we can get the Apple description.
A 1990 American romantic comedy film written and directed by John Patrick Shanley. Isn't that the guy who did Moonlight? Or Moon? What was the Cher
Moonstruck?
Movie? Moonstruck, yeah. Starring Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, Hanks plays a man after being told he's dying of a rare disease, accepts a financial offer to travel to a South Pacific island and throw himself into a volcano on behalf of the superstitious natives. Along the way, he meets and falls in love with the woman taking him there. Film received mixed reviews overall, but positive reviews from some critics, including Roger Ebert, who described the film as a new and fresh and not shy of taking chances. It was a minor box office success in the U.S. and has since become something of a cult film. Joe Banks is the character. I think he thinks that he's dying, but then he finds out he's not dying, and he's already agreed to jump into the volcano, and then wacky love comedy stuff ensues.
And Meg Ryan sans lips.
And it was sort of, yes. And it was sort of before Tom Hanks solidified himself as, like, Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
He was really making these movies like Volunteers and Bachelor Party and Mermaid, right?
Yeah.
And then I think after that comes
then
Big.
Then Big.
Right.
Yes. And then it all, yeah. I love that movie.
Which one?
Big. I like Joe and the Volcano, too, actually.
I don't know that I ever saw Joe and the Volcano.
I did.
I liked Volunteers. Have you ever seen that film?
Uh-uh.
I'm a fan of his early stuff, when he was still a little snarky. And I still think Bachelor. Is it Bachelor Party? Is that the name of it?
Yes, and he's from Decatur.
Illinois, yes.
Right?
Decatur, Illinois is mentioned in the movie.
I think he mentions he's from Decatur.
Yeah. So that movie, I let's go back. Have you ever looked at Tom Hanks' career? It's interesting because you forget about a lot of it, right? And you got to go way back because he has done so much. I mean, he's like the Stephen King of Hollywood. He is prolific as all get out. So I was looking at the 82 credits he has as an actor. And for every Bridge of Spies or Sully or even Captain Phillips, there's a lot of Toy Story. What was the one he did with Steven Spielberg? Searching for Private Ryan?
Uh-huh.
You remember that one?
Yes. Oh, and then the Polar Express.
Band of Brothers, the Polar Express, From the Earth to the Moon, that TV miniseries that
Castaway.
Yeah. Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
Bonfire of the Vanities. Actually, Big happened before Joe versus the Volcano.
Really?
Big came out in 1988. Joe vs. the Volcano came out in 1990. You remember Punchline, that really bad movie about comedy with what's her face?
Hang on. Sally Field?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like me. You really, really like
really,
me.
Really like
he
me.
Did Dragnet. That was terrible.
That was horrible.
The Money Pit, mildly funny.
Really good, actually.
Volunteers, where he plays a rich snob. And Tom Hanks was very good at that. Lawrence Bourne III. There was The Man with One Red Shoe, which was terrible. Mm-hmm. Go back and watch Bachelor Party, which was right after Splash. I can't believe Splash came out way ahead of that.
Splash was great.
I mean, he was playing Ned Donnelly on Family Ties before Splash. And then, of course, he was a very big part of Bosom Buddies. Where
loved Bosom Buddies.
Kip and Buffy Wilson.
That was a ridiculous show concept because they weren't even good-looking women.
No, and, like you
well,
couldn't
one
live
was.
Somewhere except for yeah, like the whole thing was odd.
What was who was his Peter?
Peter Scolari.
Yeah, and he actually made a somewhat attractive woman.
Went on to be one of the stars of Newhart. Yes.
Yeah.
So here's the two I'll give you. Go back and check out Volunteers from 1985, and then a movie called Nothing in Common in 1986, where he plays ad executive David Basner. and his dad is Jackie Gleason, and his mom is Eva Marie Saint, and they're getting a divorce, and he's dealing with, like, his parents getting a divorce as an adult. It's actually a pretty entertaining movie. Except for one really uncomfortable horse mating scene.
What?
Yeah, that's all I'm going to give you. There's your homework assignments. Wow, it's getting really dark out there.
It is.
We got some stuff coming in.
Dun-dun.
Here's Lindsay with your three-day forecast. A little gray out there.
Yeah.
A little murky.
I'm going with what I'm given here, 40% chance, but I think that's about to become 100% chance.
Yeah.
With partly sunny skies later, I guess. Highs around 90 degrees. This is not a very accurate forecast. Then for tonight, we've got a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms with lows around 72 degrees. Wednesday, mostly sunny and hot. Highs around 94, feeling more like 102. And Thursday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny and highs near 90 degrees. Right now in downtown Decatur, it is 80 degrees.
Hi, I'm Abby Helm, the new membership director here at the Decatur Family YMCA. At the Y, we are now introducing our new stand-up paddleboard classes, Glide Fit. The Y now offers our members three different classes, yoga, core X, and new stretches for old muscles. Not a member? No problem. Stop into the Y today and take advantage of our $18.77 joiner fee. A huge savings. Decatur Family YMCA, 220 West McKinley Avenue, just across from DMH, or online at DecaturYMCA.org.
Hi, I'm Chris Krug, publisher of the Illinois News Network. We've redesigned our digital news home. If you're new to us, you'll appreciate the thoroughness and quality of reporting at ILNews.org. Our team of journalists provides truth and a rare sensibility that gets below the surface. We report on what's happening in Springfield in real time with frequent updates. No other news media provides the level of coverage and commentary found at the all-new ILNews.org. I invite you to read the most relevant news stories from the State House and across the state. Honest, insightful, all about Illinois. ILNews.org.
From Decatur to Springfield, from Effingham to Belleville, we're bringing even better healthcare closer to home. With outstanding physicians and some of the region's most advanced specialties, our family is coming together to care for yours. HSHS Medical Group in St. Mary's Hospital. Together, part of Hospital Sisters Health System.
Hi, this is Bill Rhodes, the financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors. As someone who supports the community, I understand how important it is to shop local. 68 cents of every dollar spent goes right back into our community. Just imagine the impact if everyone shopped locally. So please, think twice before spending your dollars outside of Decatur. Let's put our hard-earned money back into the community. This message is brought to you by Bill Rhodes, the financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors and Newhoff Media, Decatur.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
See, now I'm having a flashback to all these great movies from, like, way back. Do you know what this song is from?
What?
It was from the soundtrack of a movie with Richard Dreyfuss and Danny DeVito called Ten Men. They were aluminum siding salesmen.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Eric Lee joins us back from Las Vegas, and the Eric Lee Show back on the air today with Eric in the main seat. What was your favorite Tom Hanks movie?
I'm probably cliche because Forrest Gump was so good to me, but you know, if you go undercover a little bit, but The Burbs, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. Got to go back and watch Bachelor Party and Volunteers.
You know, I've never seen those. That Big was good. I grew up with that movie. I mean, it was, you know, it pretty much everything he does is pretty good now. I thought Sully was pretty decent.
Oh, no, he's a great actor now, but there was a time when he had a little bit of like a perm or like a little bit of and he was the bad boy, which is kind of hard to imagine today.
Yeah, a little different. I've never seen Bachelor Party, but I've never heard anything bad about it.
You got to watch that. And Volunteers. Volunteers gets way overlooked in this conversation. All right, welcome back. Did you have fun out in Sin City?
Yeah. Still paying for it, trying to catch up a little bit, but definitely a good time. And Mr. Weesey's set to get married now.
All right, so where did you stay? Just out of curiosity.
We stayed at MGM. Kyle stayed at Treasure Island, so the whole group wasn't quite together just because of rates we were able to get, but... MGM Grand was great, and I went to Planet Hollywood for the first time. I was pretty impressed.
Yeah, you know, the MGM's interesting. They built it. The first hotel had a gigantic lion head as the entrance.
Oh, yeah.
and it was considered bad mojo and superstition in the Asian culture. So they spent millions of dollars to redo the whole design.
Yeah, well, they kept that big lion head on their chips and on their tables, so it's still working to the house's favor.
Yeah, but you just can't, we couldn't walk in its mouth. I mean, it was an amazing mistake that they made, alienating like half the world's population. Vegas is great, but man, it's suffering a little bit. It used to be recession-proof, and now they're hurting. They want people out there.
It doesn't look like it's hurting at all. I mean, the place was insane. We were there. There were two UFC fights going on. There was the NBA Summer League was going on. There was a lot happening, but I mean, that's pretty much always the case. The problem was it was between 112 and 117 every day while we were there.
Yeah, it's a warm place. No,
oh, gosh.
Sure. Well, there's no clocks, so it's hard to tell day and night and all of that. Did you do any gambling?
It's the most I've ever gambled in my life. I'm so worn out on cards and dice right now, I'm good for a while.
Yeah, did you win anything or lose anything?
I had my best ever day and then a couple other not good days. So
evens
lost
out
a little bit, but didn't came back with a little bit, came back with my shirt.
All right, well, that's good. All right, I'm sure we'll have tales from Vegas, or is it sure. Still what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas?
No, it's a bunch of married guys, so we're just your boring gamblers.
Yeah.
And Topgolf, if you've never been to Topgolf, that place is unbelievable. We'll talk quite a bit about it later.
Now, what's that? I missed it.
Topgolf is like it's like batting cages for golf.
Really?
But there's games you play. There are 100 bays, and you hit your ball towards these sensors, and it knows the golf ball came out of your bay, and you get points for where you hit it and stuff like that. It's pretty tremendous. I'd never been there, but it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'd never even heard of it.
Yeah, no, they're great. There's a few in major cities, but Vegas is the big one.
All right, good stuff. Well, we look forward to hearing that at 3. What else is on tap for the Eric Lee Show today?
Learn about the Boss Program. Marie Jagger-Taylor, of course, they had a performance before Shake the Lake on the 4th, but we find out more of what they do and with our Park District conversation. And then John Stevens, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat coming to Little Theater on the Square.
All right, good stuff. Well, listen, we'll see you at 3 o'clock. Welcome back.
Thanks, fantastic.
They're the Eric Lee Show at 3 o'clock. We just got a weather warning in as I was...
Is that what was happening there?
Yes, we have a severe thunderstorm warning for Macon County from 8:54, which is about 3 minutes ago, until 10 a.m. today.
Okay.
So
thunderstorm warning.
I don't have any details on exactly
winds,
where that is
hail.
In Macon County, but we'll have that. See what we can do. There we go. Speaking of old movies, Robert writes in that he watched Animal House last week and watched in memory of Flounder. He made that movie, much funnier than John Belushi. I don't know about that, Robert. Flounder was great. You know, you have to have the guy everyone makes fun of. By the way, the actor that played Flounder died this past week. Those movies, I'm so glad that I grew up in a time...
When you could make movies like Animal
House. ...that wasn't politically correct. I don't know that you'd get Bachelor Party or Animal House or any of the really truly...
Yeah, they kind of made... Remember American Pie?
Well, I guess. But I think even then, although that's probably been 20 years ago,
yeah,
was not as politically correct as it is
today. Now
they
come out with another movie where they're all married and kids and... Yeah.
I don't want to see that anymore than I want to see the original. But I do love the old stuff. Caddyshack, right? Animal House... Check out Volunteers. That was a very funny movie. But probably got to go with Bachelor Party if I'm going to pick one over the other. And there were jokes in that movie that would never fly today. Ever. And I'm not sure we're better off because of that. I know some people would disagree. That's it for us. If you want to check out the podcast of the show, you can find it at Nauticator.com or through the Nauticator app, free at the Google Play and iTunes store. We'll be back in Hump Day tomorrow. Stay dry. We'll see you then.
Get your news, weather, and sports now with the Nauticator app, available for free for iTunes and Google Play. Only with Nauticator and WSOY Decatur.
WSOY News Time is 8:59. Good morning, I'm Brett Surfowski in the WSOY Newsroom. The new batting cages are up at the Overlook Adventure Park in Nelson Park, and with varying speeds, they are perfect for your whole family. Jamie Gower is the Director of Recreation and Facilities for the Decatur Park District and says that the park has you covered when it comes to helmet safety.
And we do have actual helmets and with cover, face guard.